Hi, this is Larry London. I welcome you to Border Crossings. And joining us today from the comforts of his home in Virginia, we have Justin Trawick with us. And he is joined by his main love interest in Lauren. And they are part of the Justin and Lauren show. And they're part of the Border Crossing show. So they join us today here on The Voice of America. Justin and Lauren, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm Justin. This is my main love interest, Lauren Lemonian.
Wow.
That's her. That's it. Now, first of all, I got to ask, you know, where did the idea to work together as a team come from?
The coronavirus hit in March, and before that, Lauren just would every once in a while with my band in a live setting, be at the 930 Club or Pearl Street Warehouse or World Cafe Live in Philly, she would come on stage for like one or two songs to rap. Lauren grew up in New Jersey,
yep.
And for some particular reason, she's just a vault when it comes to rap lyrics from the mid-80s to the late 90s.
And early 2000s.
Like I said, she would come in for maybe one or two songs every second or third show. Not even every show. But when all this started, and suddenly Lauren was the last person in the world that I was allowed to high five, I was like, well, I can't see my band anymore. How do you feel about you and me doing a little show together? And,
oh, you asked me how I felt?
Well, no, I guess I didn't. I was like, we do this now. This is a thing we do now.
I was voluntold.
No, this is something good that came out of this whole COVID thing.
We got live streaming really, really quickly. On March the 12th, Larry, was the first show of mine that was canceled, and I actually canceled it myself. March the 12th was still just like a couple days before everything really started shutting down. And I run a thing in the D.C. area called the 9 Songwriter Series. And the 9, as you might be able to imagine, is a lot of artists in one night. It's 9 singer-songwriters. And we're all sharing mics and sharing equipment and guitars and stuff. And it just seemed at the time like not a particularly good idea from all the information that we knew at the moment. And so I canceled that show myself, and Lauren and I were, it was around noon that day, and we were like, well, what do we do now? What do I do now? This is all I've ever done since I was 13 years old. I'm 38. And we decided just at the spur of the moment, about noon that day, that evening we would do a Facebook Live thing, of which we had done for fun about 2 years earlier when I was supposed to go to New York and play at Rockwood Music Hall. We had a huge blizzard, couldn't go. Lauren and I decided to do a little Facebook Live thing, and I had remembered at that moment that we had done that before and it was fun. You remember that.
Yeah, we had a great response.
We were in your tiny little 350 square foot apartment in D.C., and we had a great response, and so we did it again. And the amount of people that came and watched us and participated, I think we definitely paid our rent in one evening, mm-hmm. from the people that came and tipped us for just being us. I mean, what you're seeing right now is basically what we do. Nothing is scripted. We don't have a plan. We're pretty open about our lives. If I say something that Lauren doesn't like, Lauren's pretty honest. And there's usually many more Team Lauren people than there are Team Justin people. It's something about how I think she's better looking than me.
I have better hats.
She's better hats. But, you know, we have not missed we started on a Thursday. It just happened to be a Thursday. We quickly, for some particular reason, decided to do it again that Sunday.
Oh, it's because the news outlet asked, so when's the next one? And we're like,
that's right.
We need to have another one.
That's right. A cable news outlet came and filmed our second one. And then we just kept doing Thursdays and Sundays, and we have not missed one since.
Last night was 56.
Yeah. Wow. But I'm sure that it's got to be quite a change for you to not have the live interaction with an audience. I mean, when you're doing a virtual thing, you don't have the actual immediate feedback of the audience. That's kind of the visual. You watch, they're watching you, and you can see a bunch of picture boxes, but it's different than being in a room.
It is. It is very different. I do think that we were fortunate, Larry, I think that we were fortunate in a sense because of the fact that I'd been playing music for so long already. I'd been playing professionally since 2008, I'd worked really hard on building a social media presence already, that when this happened, we were not just broadcasting to the world one-sided. We had people watching us, commenting back, Throughout this whole 7 months that we've been doing this, not only have they been commenting back, which has been filling that kind of feeling, what you were saying, like it's not the same live, and it's true, it's not the same live, but there's something satisfying still with it, at least for us, because these people have been commenting back, and amazingly, they've been becoming friends with each other. At some point, maybe we can talk a little bit about these backyard shows that we've been doing, where all these people that have never met in person are suddenly getting together in strangers' backyards, just a small group of people, but they're all seeing their faces for the first time. And it's really kind of wild. Mm-hmm. People that would probably never be friends.
Or they might be at the same show, but they probably would never interact. Like, probably never know anything beyond, oh, you were at that show too.
Oh, yeah. Like, one guy is, like, a huge bouncer at a small club here in Arlington. And he is now...
I think he's, like, a celebrity now.
He is now, like, befriended, like, you know, this tiny little engineer, you know, who lives, you know, in Maryland. And those two guys probably would have never been friends before. And now all these things have gotten them together, which has been really... cool, because I feel like we needed this, and I needed this. Lauren may have not needed this, but Lauren did it with me. But I think that all these people that have been watching us, I think that they have been helped through all this, and that makes us really happy. We get written to every day on like an Instagram Messenger or Facebook Messenger about how much they need this in their lives and how much they look forward to their Thursdays and Sundays with us.
Mm-hmm. We've got Justin and Lauren with us, the Justin and Lauren Show, which streams virtually worldwide. I think that's one of the great things about what you're doing is that you're not limited to just one room. You've got millions of rooms you could be in many, many, many different places on the planet. So that's one positive aspect of the virtual scenario. But if you don't mind doing a song, I'd love to hear some music from you guys.
Are you going to give me a little bit of shaker, Lauren? Oh, yeah.
Woo!
All right. Sit alone on the pavement. I think about all the ways that your day went. Sideways, backwards, upside down. Can't get much worse than it is now. And you don't know how you got here. And you don't know how you leave here. Hats off to the first responders. Send the men back because your heart's no longer. You never thought it'd ever get to this. And you never even thought that you'd ever even kiss. You live a life in a dream full of potholes. Tear the car up, but the road's still beautiful. I want to tell you I really love the way you don't stay mad at me, babe. Even though I'm not perfect today. And I remember when we used to say, this is love, this is love. This is love. You're doing so good.
Thanks.
You're doing excellent. Hold on to something and hope it won't break. This is love. This is love. This is love. All right. Yeah. Woo! You got a heart like a stone. Try to warm it up, but it always stays cold. Till the day that you met in the rain and the cold went away.
It's like a Tom Cruise movie.
Hell yeah. What are all your fears? What are all the things that'll get us through the years? Let's play a game called Tell Me What You're Thinking. Don't look now.
Neither one of us is blinking.
I called you up today for no good reason to simply say, woo! Now I was thinking of you.
That's nice.
Now I was thinking of you, and I want you all to know that when I wrote this simple song, I was thinking of you. Ooh, I was thinking of you, and I remember when we used to say, this is love, this is love, this is love. Oh man, it sounds so good, it sounds so good. Hold on to something and hope it won't break. This is love, this is love. This is love. All right, we need a little bit of Lambertville, New Jersey. Here we go, Jersey Fresh. Hey!
Here I go, here I go, here I go. Again, girls, what's my weakness? Okay, woo! Then, chillin', I'm out of my business. And so I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I said, I'm underneath my weakness. My brother had it going on with some kind of, wicked, wicked. Had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I asked for the digits. So I'll woo! Know that.
Shoo, I'm jumping in. Time check, a good we're still here. All I have full go get us in the clear. We live a life in a sea full of icebergs. Speed the motor up,
run into them head first.
You are who I wanna see every single morning, waking up next to me. And I think way back on the things that we said about how we never ever let it go to our heads. And I remember when we used to say, this is love, this is love, this is love. Really glad I shaved.
Me too.
I look
I'm
a lot
I'm glad.
Better. Hold on to something and hope it won't break. This is love. This is love. This is love. All right, do that again. Come on. I remember when we used to say, this is love. This is love. This is love. Woo! Come on. Final stretch. Hold on to something and hope it won't break. This is love. This is love, this is love. Last time at a hard stop. This is love, this is love, this is love. High five.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Oh, wait, where's my headphone?
Right, we are cheering all around the world right now. The Justin and Lauren show are here, both of them together, on stage and off stage. How long have you two been together?
Lauren and I have been dating for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren likes to tell a story about how we apparently went on a date 10 years ago, but neither of us remember it.
12 years ago,
Justin. That's what I said. 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
And the reason why Lauren figured this out, Larry, is because Lauren took like a seminar kind of thing.
No, I ran the seminar.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. She ran a seminar, and someone at the seminar that she was running. Okay, but you were listening to someone else.
It.
That's right.
I had
don't
a professional.
Don't fight with me. It's fine. We're good. She found out that you have to clean your email, and so she cleaned out her email, like, you know, years and years of emails, and she found an email from a match.com account. It was a couple different emails back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was between her screen name on whatever match was and
mm-hmm.
mine. And mine happens to be my license plate, which is, I won't say it, but it's very
recognizable.
Very me. And, and apparently it said, I had a good time. Did you have a good time? I had a good time. We should do this again. And we didn't. And then we didn't ever see each other again for a good 14, 15 years later. And so, you know, we tried it
Ta-da!
Again and it worked out. It worked out, Larry.
Well, that's great. I mean, you are making music together, literally and figuratively. Now, The Common Good, that's your band. Are you still with that band?
Yeah. And in fact, Justin Trevick and The Common Good, we've been lucky enough to do some things that we've created on our own through these backyard shows. The Common Good was a name that I created because I'm from Virginia, and I was trying to come up with some sort of nod to Virginia and a band name about five or six years ago when I named the band, and Commonwealth was already taken in a band name for someone else. But when I Wikipedia'd Commonwealth, part of the definition of Commonwealth, because Virginia is a Commonwealth, was to do something for the common good. And I thought that was a great name. And so Justin Trevick and the Common Good has been me, a mandolin player, an upright bass player, and a fiddle player for the past 6 years or so. We've been really lucky. Every year, every summer, we play the 930 Club. We've done a lot of regional and mid-Atlantic touring. And we've been, you know, really lucky. DC has been a great home base for where we play.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Arlington and traveling around this whole region has been an awesome opportunity for me to be a working musician ever since I started doing this full time in 2008.
Now, you have described your style of music, or at least I've read the description of your music, as Americana. What does that mean? I mean, for the benefit of an international audience who always hear the name, here's an Americana artist. What exactly is Americana music, at least as far as Justin Trawick is concerned?
To me, I think Americana means an all-encompassing nature of American musical art forms, like folk and country and bluegrass. And honestly, it's Americana, but then it's clearly mixed with some more modern influences like hip-hop. Stuff like that, what we were just doing just then. The next two songs that we do will be way less hip than the first
They're
one.
They're more hot.
I've thought many times, Larry, when I've had to fill out some sort of application or songwriting contest, it's like, what do you call yourself? You know, I don't think I'm country. I don't think I'm folk. I definitely don't think I'm straight up hip hop. I think Americana has really been the saving one box check answer for all those things, which is really a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm.
And this is the style of music that you've always been doing since, I think you said, 12?
I discovered my father's guitar under the steps of the second floor staircase in our pre-Civil War house the summer before I went to high school in about 1995 or 6 or so. And early on when I started playing, I started writing songs immediately. I've always said to my friends, I've been very... not very fun at parties because I never knew cover songs to play them. I didn't know all the Beatles songs that they wanted me to play, but I was like, I can sing this song to you about all my ex-girlfriends if you want. And, that has been met with certain amounts of, acceptance. But as the years have gone by, my parents, who have always been very supportive of me and music, they've always been, very understandably opinionated on the things that I should do and the things that I should say. My mom, for example, I talked to my mom today before we did this with you, and she's like, Justin, don't be too silly. You know, people don't want you to be too silly. It's like, that's true, but like, I feel like that's been part of our nature. That's been part of our nature online. You and me having only met through this medium, there's so many distractions that you have around you. You're in your kid's room. There's probably Legos on the floor. You're probably thinking about the dinner that you're going to make. If you were at a venue with us, right, it would be entirely
and trophies in the room.
Hey,
trophies.
You're a winner.
But, being online the way that we
are.
There
you go. I wish I could put this from one screen to the next screen and give this, and you'd reach and.
What a production value that would be amazing. If
Let's
we,
get
if,
on that, Larry.
If you sent us that trophy in advance. But I feel like this is not answering your original question, but we have been a little bit over the top in our performances because I feel like that's the way that we have to perform now online to keep people's attention. To answer your original question, I think to some degree, one way or the other, I've always been a singer-songwriter, but I've always evolved in the time that I, in the moment that I was in. And I think, for example, right now we have evolved into more of a talk show, like a TV kind of Ryan and Kelly or Regis and Kathy, depending on what decade you're from, talk show where, like, we sing songs, but it's not about the perfection of the song. It's about the moment that you and I are having together and the people that are watching us, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think in general what you've always done, whether you're on stage in a venue or we're here in front of a camera, is we bring people into our world. You bring people in, especially
right,
whether it's a funny story, it's a distraction, or it's an emotional song about your grandmother. People want to feel real feelings. Like if we were just doing a shtick, if we were just like amplifying and being over the top, people would be like, they would be tired after a couple of times. So like, oh yeah, we got your bits, we're good. We're being amplified versions of ourselves. Every time we do this, it's different because we're just kind of riffing and improvising every day, which I think a lot of people are doing in 2020. It's just an improvisational exercise of how do we make this work?
Mm. Yeah.
Now it's Justin Trawick, right? And Lauren, what's your last name?
Lemenyon. French Canadian, but I'm Italian.
Okay. You covered it all. Now you mentioned you do some hip hop, and then that first song was very hip hop, and Pharrell called while you were performing and he wants his hat back.
Yeah, yeah.
So please, Why the hats? I mean, when did you guys get into the the hat collection?
Lauren probably wasn't a hat person before she met
scared.
Me. Lauren was also not a live music person before she met me. Lauren had been to see a couple like arena shows,
New Kids on the Block
like
and Backstreet Boys,
but she had never really been in the local music scene, much less been a performer in it. And so a lot of things are new for Lauren. For me, for hats specifically, Larry, when I was a kid, I struggled when I was a kid. I've always had a very large head. In baseball sizes, Larry, what size is your head in baseball fitted sizes? Do you even know?
Yeah, XL.
Oh, that's not baseball fitted size. We're talking
about
7 3/8. See, I'm a 7 7/8.
Wow.
Yeah, like if I put my head on top.
Should we do a transfer?
That is quite a dome.
Ready?
Watch this.
Yes, that is a variety show in the making.
There's a company out there called this company is called Gorin. Gorin makes a bunch of really great hats, and they've been very supportive of us. and so we wear a lot of their hats, but we have tons of hats all over the place.
Can we get another song?
We will. We'll play another song. I actually wanted, Lauren, I'd like to play
All the Places.
All the Places.
All right, I'm gonna take a pause then.
This is a song about my. I have to make sure my hat's right now. And look, I have this amazing mirror in front of me. This is a song that was inspired by my grandmother. My grandmother, her name is Lenore. She died 2 years ago. She lived to be 99 years old, and. She was born in Quitman, Arkansas, back in 1919 when the horse and buggy still existed. The car was just coming around, and she just told me all the world's greatest stories about the greatest generation, the World War II generation. And I wrote this song about a fictional person in real history. It's not about my grandmother, but it was inspired by her, and it's called All the Places That I've Been. My mind is failing, and I think my skin is growing thin, and I wonder if I'll remember all those places I have been. And I ain't walked tall in ages, and my back just don't bend that way, and my hair was once receding, but now it's all gone away. I was born in Oklahoma, on a farm outside of town, and I spent my days out wandering in the fields behind our house, and I wondered what was out there beyond the fences of our home, and I left town for the army when I turned 18 years old. And I remember what it felt like as I reached onto the shore, the cool breeze and the salt air on June 6th, 1944. And I watched my friends get mowed down by the Mausers on the hill. And I don't know how I made it, but I thank God that I did. And I found myself near D.C. when the war was finally done, and I got myself a family, and a wife and three young little ones. And I ran for public office, becoming mayor of my town, and my parents stood right by me, and my wife said she was proud. And we lived through the Truman Doctrine as Jackie took the field, and the Rosenbergs were sentenced, segregation was repealed. And Rosa sat in silence, and Elvis sang a song, and the Cuban Missile Crisis marked the final days of John, and the Beatles crossed the ocean, and Dr. King was shot and killed, and Nixon left his office, oh, as the radio star was killed, and the Challenger exploded, and Oklahoma cried, and 13
13 people died by two troubled kids in Columbine. In New York City's finest and bravest of them all, climbed the city's towers minutes before they'd fall. And I remember what it felt like as my family stood and stared, because my son was of the bravest with those heroes climbing stairs. So I feel my mind is failing, and I think my skin is growing thin, and I wonder if I'll remember all those places I have been.
Great. Great, great, great. Love it. Love it.
That song is called, what's that song called?
All the places I've been.
I'm so distracted.
I know.
The song's called All the Places I've Been, Larry. Thank you very much for letting me play it.
Oh, sounded great. Sounded great. It's Justin Trawick, Justin and Lauren show. And so I'd mentioned to Lauren before I actually had a chance to meet you that there is a Jason Trawick who was married to Britney Spears.
I don't think they were married. I think they were dating.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like the 24-hour marriage guy.
Oh, was that the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he was.
You know more Britney facts than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know this. I can tell you why. Because Larry, that was probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And yep. Jason Trawick, I know too much about this, Larry. Jason Trawick was her agent.
Uh-huh.
Britney Spears' agent, and they did have like a little fling, and I know all about this so well because one of the local radio stations here in DC. See, the problem, Larry, is that Justin is interchangeable with any other J name all the time.
Jeff, Jason.
If you just call me by any J name, I have just learned to answer to it, and I think it's in reverse. It's the other way too. One of the local radio stations, between songs, we're talking about the big breakup between Britney Spears and Justin Trawick, and all my friends called me immediately. They're like, this is not true, right? I'm like, no, it's obviously not true. You know me. Look at my hat size. It can't possibly be true. But with that said, I now know entirely too much about Britney Spears.
Man, well, also, I wanted to find out more before, because we're running out of time, but I wanted to find out more about the backyard concerts that you referred to. I know you've had 9 and they've all gone so well for you. What's the idea behind the backyard concerts with the weather changing? Probably you're not going to be able to do many more of those for a while.
Well, I don't know. I think we're going to find some people that are not weather averse.
Yes. Polar Bear Club members.
The short answer is because we've done been so personally successful with our live streaming, Larry, a lot of these people lived somewhat local, and they were interested in expanding with us and trying something out. I remember back in like, I don't know, March, April, May, maybe April, late April,
May,
going, Lauren, wouldn't it be amazing if like one day when the venues opened again, we actually had a venue show?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just decided to go, hey, does anybody have a backyard that we could use so we don't have to wait that long? And Lauren, I owe a lot of the credit to Lauren. Lauren has painstakingly measured, literally physically measured out these backyards. She's made a grid. She's made sure everybody had about 8 to 10 by 10 foot blocks of
essentially land. Well, it's not even the blocks, it's the spaces in between based on the party size. And then I get on Canva, and then I do accurate seating grids and charts. And then
right.
We have protocols, so everyone has a list of instructions as they enter, when they get up, how they use the restroom. And thankfully, we have an amazing crowd who are amazing rule followers, because they know that if they don't follow the rules, that they'll get called out on our show.
we now do this regularly in Philadelphia, Arlington, and Well, the Philadelphia area, the D.C. area, and the Richmond area. Mm-hmm. We have sold out literally every single one. Mm-hmm. And we have two different models. We have a backyard one, and then we have a secret street show where it's just a few more people. The backyard one's 25 people. The street show is 50 people. Still super socially distanced, wearing masks. And the street show is a benefit for the Arlington Food Assistance Center, which is the food bank here in Arlington.
So we do a food drive, and then we give partial proceeds to them.
We're talking with Justin and Lauren. I wanted to, you know, that you have the new single, Back of the Line. What's right. the plan for your next album? Is it an EP, a studio album? What's coming up next?
The next album is done. The next album's been finished since March. It was supposed to come out in May. I think like a lot of people, Larry, a lot of people didn't put out their records because they didn't know what to do, or they didn't know if it was going to be received the same way. A lot of people did put out records, and unfortunately it may have not been received the same way, especially if you weren't a marquee name. It might have been a little bit lackluster, and I was afraid of that. You know, for a regional artist that really depends on the live feel of music, and also depends on sales still of physical records. I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity of having an album release show, like at a physical location, like we've done for like the last for the last 10 years. I've had every January, I've had my annual 29th birthday show, and that has been awesome. I'm not even sure what I'm going to do this January. We'll have to see. Maybe we can do another interview in January, and we'll tell you how we figured out how to do my annual 29th birthday show. This year will be my 11th annual 29th birthday show.
Wow.
But I do have an EP. It's completely done. We actually got together for a socially distant little picnic a couple days ago with two people that we became friends with during our live stream, and they were the first ones to actually hear the little EP that we created, and they loved it. I really can't wait to have it come out. But in the meantime, I wrote this song back in May called Back of the Line, which is about my feeling on the coronavirus and the feeling personally of what it meant to me to be not seeing people and not seeing my own parents. I'm very close to my parents. I talk to them daily. I see them weekly. I didn't see them for 3 months during this time, and that was really tough. I mean, my family is small. It's my parents and me. That's it. And I know that a lot of people around the world probably feel similar. A lot of people have heard this song, and they've said how much that it's meant to them. And so I've been really happy to have this song and be able to play it for people and hopefully help in some way.
Are you going to do that for us now?
Yeah, we'd love
All
to.
All right, and great. This is, can't wait to hear the song. Justin Trawick, Back of the Line.
This could be all just a dream, and I could open my eyes and everything would seem back as it was and back as it used to be. I want to tell you the truth, and I've never been more afraid to lose the people I know and the things we used to do. Running backwards, fading fast, back of the line, back of the line, back of the line again. Leaning into wind that's blowing me back of the line, back of the line, back of the line again. Dreams from an ordinary day never been as vivid as today, and I can remember every single thing. I want to feel the sun, and I want to reach out my arms and simply touch someone, for I'd just settle for that.
back of the line, back of the line again. Running backwards, made it fast. Back of the line, back of the line, back of the line again. Back of the line, back of the line again.
All right, so here's the deal. Let's do something special.
Okay.
So Lauren and I, when we went into the recording studio and we did this socially distant recording opportunity, you know, came up and we were able to record this. We only recorded, like a low-key version. At the time, I didn't think I could do the higher version. I'm not sure why. I didn't really think I could do the higher version, and so I think we can now.
I think we can.
And, alright, ready? Alright, I'm ready. Oh,
running backwards, fading fast, back of the line, back of the line, back of the line again.
I want to tell you the truth, and I have never been more afraid to lose the people I know and the things we used to do.
It's the Justin and Lauren show, and that's the new single, Back to the Line. And so, back of the line. So, the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic situation has affected everybody around the world professionally. How about personally? I mean, how has it changed your lives? You walking around with masks, or are you afraid to go out, or what's going on in your lives because of the virus now?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, not much of my life changed. I'm an executive coach professionally, so on Zoom is how I operate most of the times, but all of my speaking gigs got canceled. I'm pretty much an introvert, more so now than ever. My concern level got cranked up. I have a really good friend who's an epidemiologist, and I saw her in the beginning of March, and she just said, this is probably the last time I'm going to see you for a really long time. And I was like, oh, crap. I heard her, and I took it very seriously. And I say it to people now when they come to our backyard shows, when they come to Come and Good on the Block, is that we want to be able to take care of people's mental health and give them something to look forward to. And be part of the solution. We don't want people to get sick, obviously, but we also don't want people to feel nervous. We don't want people to wonder, are they paying attention to these things? Because we take this stuff very seriously. And we want to make sure that live music is a major component for people's healing and for their sustainability through this time.
I think that one of the things that we discovered, being musicians ourselves, sometimes we take live music for granted, Larry, and the people that came up to us when we were doing these, seeing how much it actually helped them emotionally, mm-hmm. How much, these are people that go to concerts all the time, and it's
part of them.
It's part of their being, and to not hear live music for 3, 4, 5, 7 months has been a huge issue for them. When we played our Secret Backyard show a couple days ago, half the crowd had not done anything mm-hmm. before seeing us. And we've had people come up to us in near tears, if not full tears, mm-hmm. saying how happy they were us to be able to bring this back to them. And we needed this as much as they needed it. We live in a tiny square foot, 700. We live in a 750 square foot apartment. We don't have a backyard. We only recently discovered disc golf as a way for us to get out more. I don't know if you play disc golf, but I am
never
all in. It's so fun.
It's his 11th day in a row.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, we needed the interaction with people without having the interaction. You know, we needed that social distance, but in real life, seeing people, and on FaceTime, you know, or FaceTime, Facebook Live and stuff like that, Instagram Live. And this is gonna be here for the long haul, I think, for a while. I mean, especially with music, live music, I don't think we're gonna be one of the last things to come back in a real in-person setting. Especially at our level, which is, you know, not big. I mean, only in the last 7 months have we had an uptick in our popularity because of what we did online. We went from having 7,000 Facebook followers to having 13,000 in just about 4 months. It took me 10 years to get 7,000. It took me 4 months to get twice that many more. So it's been wild. I really have grown to love this, and the interaction that we've gotten with her, and we've made so many new friends doing this, you know,
extended family, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think going along with what you're saying is you can hear live music, you can hear music, but to have a shared experience with live music is a totally different experience. And I think it's what's needed and what has been lacking, since the coronavirus hit.
Now, talking about, you know, the virtual world that we all live in right now, how can people find you on the internet? If they want to go to your website or your social media sites, they want to get your new single, they want to connect with you in some way, maybe check out one of these concerts online, what do they have to do?
The easiest thing is just to go to justintrawick.com, T-R-A-W-I-C-K. We broadcast our Facebook Live shows every Thursday and Sunday. And if anybody that's watching or listening to us right now doesn't have Facebook, we actually figured that out. If you go to our website and go to live stream, you can actually watch our Facebook Live show without having Facebook. My awesome web designer, Ross Barber, who is a Scottish fellow who lives, you know, in Scotland, figured out a way to let people watch without having to have a Facebook page. So it's really, really cool.
In real time. Yeah.
And Back of the Line is everywhere. You can, wherever you like to download music, stream music, you can find Back of the Line. And I sure hope that you will. And if you're listening or watching and you put Back of the Line on one of your playlists, message me the playlist and I will totally share it. I love seeing people's playlists and especially having that song on it.
Well, thank you both for doing this for us. I really appreciate the chance to hear your music and to get to know you guys better. And for the rest of the world, you know, Justin Trawick and Lauren Lemonian. See? Had to think about it for a second.
Lauren's own right, Lauren has been helping people a lot too. What is your website?
SpitfireCoach.com.
Yeah. She has been doing a lot of different types of seminars and stuff like that for people who have really needed to figure out how to work from home.
I'm like the queen of pivoting from a remote situation. How do you make it work with constraints?
The Justin and Lauren Show, thank you so much for being on The Voice of America.
Thank you, Larry.
My name is Larry London, and you have been listening to and watching Border Crossings. Thanks for tuning in.